بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of the concise admonition by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And in the last discussion, the subject was the matter of provision, al-rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded, فَابْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقَ وَاعْبُدُوهُ وَاشْكُرُوا لَهُ. And seek sustenance with Allah and worship Him and be grateful to Him. Shaykh al-Islam now says, وَهَذَا أَمْرٌ. And this is a command. وَالْأَمْرُ يَقْتَضِ الْإِجَابِ. And the command necessitates obligation. فَالْإِسْتِعَانَةُ بِاللَّهِ. Seeking aid and help from Allah. واللجوء إليه في أمر الرزق وغيره أصل عظيم. And turning to him in matters of sustenance and provisions and other than that is a very fundamental matter. Why it is a very fundamental matter? Because this matter relates to Tawheed, singling Allah alone in worship. Isti'ana, seeking help, turning to him and the like from worships. Directing that to Allah is Iman, is faith and Tawheed. And directing this to other than Allah is Shirk, ascribing partners to Allah. And Tawheed is the most fundamental matter and most important matter. So therefore, the command is to ask Allah, seeking His help, turning to Him in all of our affairs. And this is an obligation, Fardun Wajib. And the textual proofs are replete regarding this meaning. And we came across some of them. From that is the hadith of Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, when he was with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, a young boy. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. If you ask, ask Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And if you seek help, seek the help of Allah. Meaning, if you intend to ask for anything, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and none else. He will give you what you ask, and He is the all rich, the free of all want, and all the treasures of good are with Him. None can withhold what He gives or prevent what He gives, and no one can give what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevents. This hadith, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ, if you ask, ask Allah, is deducted from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Ibn Rajab rahimahullah said, is deducted from the saying of Allah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship, and you alone we seek for help. In fact, there is a strong deterrence and warning against asking people except for the person who is in need, or a person who may have been touched by calamity and the like. For example, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and it is in Sahih Al-Bukhari volume 2, hadith number 550, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, لَنْ يَأْخُذَ أَحَدُكُمْ حَبْلًا أَوْ أَحْبُلًا فَيَأْخُذُ حَزْمَةً أَوْ حُزْمَةً أَوْ حَزْمَةً مِنْ حَطَبٍ فَيَكُفَّ اللَّهُ بِهِ وَجْهَهُ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَنْ يَسْأَلَ النَّاسِ أُعْطِيَ أَوْ مُنِعْ. It is better for anyone of you to take a rope and cut and bring a bundle of wood from the forest over his back and sell it, and Allah will save his face from the hellfire because of that, rather than to ask the people who may give him or not. And he alayhi salatu wasalam said, in the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. He ﷺ said, مَنْ يَسْتَغْنِي يُغْنِهِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَسْتَعْفِثْ يُعِفَّهُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهِ وَمَا أُعْطِيَ أَحَدٌ عَطَاءً خَيْرًا وَأَوْسَعَ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ. Whoever abstains from asking others, Allah will make him contented. And whoever tries to make himself self-sufficient, Allah will make him self-sufficient. And whoever remains patient, Allah will make him patient. Nobody can be given a blessing better and greater than patience. And this is in volume 2, hadith 547. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم من سأل الناس أموالهم تكثرا فإنما يسأل جمرا فليستقل أو يستكثر. In the hadith reported by Muslim in volume 2 2266. من سأل الناس أموالهم تكثرا فإنما يسأل جمرا فليستقل أو يستكثر. He who begs the riches of others to increase his own is asking only for live coals, C-O-A-L-S. So let him ask a little or much. Al-Qadi Ayyad, and Al-Qadi Ayyad said regarding the meaning of this hadith that he will be punished in hellfire, and it is possible that the hadith is in its apparent meaning, and that the thing which he will take in excess turns into live coal, burning him. And the Prophet ﷺ admonished his companions that they ask people for nothing. Ask people nothing. In the hadith reported in Sahih Muslim in volume 2 2270 عن عوف بن مالك الأشجعي, may Allah be pleased with him. In this hadith, Malik al-Ajjai reported, we 9, 8 or 7 men were in the company of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, why don't you pledge allegiance to the Messenger of Allah? While we had recently pledged allegiance. So we said, Messenger of Allah, we have already pledged allegiance to you. He again said, why don't you pledge allegiance to the Messenger of Allah? And we said, Messenger of Allah, we have already pledged allegiance to you. He again said, why don't you pledge allegiance to the Messenger of Allah? We stretched our hands and said, Messenger of Allah, we have already pledged allegiance to you. Now tell, on what things should we pledge allegiance to you? He said, you must pledge allegiance that you would worship Allah only and would not associate with him anything, and observe 5 prayers and obey. And he said one thing in an undertone, that you would not beg people of anything. And as a consequence of that, I saw that some of these people did not ask anyone to pick up the whip for them if it fell down. And also in the next hadith, 2271, عن قبيسة بن مخارق الهلالي رضي الله عنه, he said, I was under debt and I came to the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and begged from him regarding it. He said, wait till we receive sadaqah فَنَأْمُرُ لَكَ بِهَا, so that we order that to be given to you. قال ثم قال يا قبيصة إن المسألة لا تحل إلا لأحد ثلاثة. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said, قبيصة, begging is not permissible but for one of three classes of persons. رجل تحمل حمالة فحلت له المسألة. One who has incurred debt, for him begging is permissible till he pays that off, after which he must stop it. ورجل أصابته جائحة اجتاحت ماله فحلت له المسألة حتى يصيب قواما من عيش أو قال سدادا من عيش. An man whose property has been destroyed by a calamity which has smitten him, for him begging is permissible till he gets what will support life or will provide him reasonable subsistence. ورجل أصابته فاقة حتى يقوم ثلاثة من ذوي الحجى من قومه لقد أصابت فلانا فاقة فحلت له المسألة حتى يصيب قواما من عيش أو قال سدادا من عيش فما سواهن من المسألة يا قبيصة سحتا يأكلها صاحبها سحتا. And a person who has been smitten by poverty, the genuineness of which is confirmed by three intelligent members of his people, for him begging is permissible till he gets what will support him or will provide him subsistence. Qabisa, besides these three, every other person or every other reason for begging is forbidden, and one who engages in such consumes that which is forbidden. Then Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah continued, then he should take this money or assistance, take it in honor, not disputing about it, such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses it for him, and he should not be keen about asking for it, impatiently seeking it, worried about not getting it. So in this way he will preserve honor for himself and protect it from humiliation. And it is reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim from Abdullah bin Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, who said, I heard Umar ibn Khattab saying that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give him something and he would say, give him to someone who is more in need for it. And this is in Bukhari, volume 2, hadith 552. Allah's Messenger used to give me something, but I would say to him, would you give it to a poorer and more needy than I? And the Prophet ﷺ said to me, take it. If you are given something from this property without asking for it or having agreed for it, take it. And if not given, don't run for it. So he should not have greed in his heart for that, nor be keen about getting it. And in this case, the person would preserve his honor and dignity, lifting it from places of or situations of humility. And this type of honor bestows on the person reverence in the sight of people, and therefore it draws respect to him. Shaykh al-Islam continued, rather the property or the wealth or the money with him should be like the place where a person uses to respond to the call of nature, having no attachment of the heart to that place. Why did he describe it in this way? Like the place for used for the responding to the call of nature, indicating that there should be no attachment of the heart to such a place, and therefore there should be no attachment to this wealth. So the wealth should be like that place, used only for that purpose, without attachment to the place. And therefore the wealth should not be his major concern. And in another place, Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah also said that the person's use and need with respect to the water, with respect to wealth, should be like the status of the donkey which he rides upon, and like the mat he may sit on. And then he rahimahullah said, وفي الحديث المرفوع الذي رواه الترمذي and others, and in the raised hadith to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, which is reported by الترمذي and others, and الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله authenticated it, he صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من أصبح والدنيا أكبر همه شتت الله عليه شمله وفرق عليه ضيعته ولم يأته من الدنيا إلا ما كتب له ومن أصبح والآخرة أكبر همه جمع الله عليه شمله وجعل غناه في قلبه وأتته الدنيا وهي راغمة. The person who awakes while the dunya, this life, is the most important concern on his mind, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will break up and disperse his affairs and will disperse and break up his bay'ah. And the bay'ah covers man's profession, means of sustenance, all of these things will break up. The gathering, the unity of all of that will be broken, because he was negligent concerning the affairs with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the recompense is in accordance with the deeds. So Allah breaks up and disperses his united efforts, and his gatherings on his affairs will break them up, disperse them. And the person who awakes while the next life, the life of the hereafter, is his most important concern, Allah will gather for him his affairs and will make his richness in his heart, and this worldly life will come to him submitting. And Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah commented if the person's concern in the morning and the evening is nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, Allah will bear for him his needs and will fill his heart with his love and will make him remember him on his tongue, and his limbs will be acting in his obedience. And if it is the other way around, if this dunya, if this life is his major concern, Allah will make him carry on, take its concerns and its worries, and will leave him for himself, and his heart will be occupied by loving other than Allah from the creation, and the remembrances on his tongue will be remembrances of the creation, not of Allah, and his limbs will be serving them. And therefore, anyone who turns away from the ubudiyyah to Allah, from slavery and submission to Allah and his obedience and his love, will be punished by having his ubudiyyah, his slavery to the created, and his love to the created, and serving the created. قال الله عز وجل in this respect in Surah Al-Zukhruf chapter 43 verse 36, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَانِ نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. And whosoever turns away and binds himself from the remembrance of the Most Beneficent Allah, we appoint for him shaitan to be a qareen, an intimate companion to him. This brings the end of this part of this discussion, and inshallah ta'ala in the next one we continue the rest. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.